All right. Test. We good? The bar was moving.
So. Now it's moving. I think we're on. Check it out. God test damn. It out.
Somebody call in. Oh, man. Amazing.
Outstanding.
No, don't. Don't fucking sing outstanding. This is not outstanding. This is the opposite of outstanding.
All right, well, are we on the air? If anyone's listening, can you tell us if we're on the air right now?
Yo, like, yeah. Shout out to Ryan, friend of the show and listener. She was like, I only hear sound effects. I'm like, fuck. We had a really great intro. Damn it. I mean, so technically, I guess we could just play it and start over right now in this moment. Do you want to? Just
go for it.
Reboot the show?
No, right. don't stop it, though, because I already shared out the link.
Like, no, but I mean, I'll just restart the song.
And now we have no video sound on here.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Stop pushing shit, bro. Stop touching shit. Just leave it. Fuck it.
Now we can't hear
it. We can't hear the video. Fuck it. Can we hear the sound effects?
Hold on. Let's see who's in the chat. This is... Okay, we're on the air. Shout out to Ryan. She says we're on the air. But now I can't hear goddamn thing.
All right. Well, we can't hear any sound effects, so I don't really care. This is your usual Thursday NFL spot. Context for the
God?
Culture.
Why?
Stop crying, bro. Touchdowns and Tangents, your usual Thursday NFL spot. Live from the Good News radio station. I'm PD Camarillo.
And I'm Kenneth Frank James Berry.
Real quick, some house maintenance. Shout out to the Replay affiliates, X-Squad affiliates, X-Squad Radio. We love you. Thanks for being great people and supporting the show. Shout out to FPC Radio, FPC Raiders, and the whole squad over there for also supporting us. Catch our replays there. Other than that, you know what it is, the Good News radio station. You can also find this podcast on your favorite podcast app. And if you actually like the show and fuck with the show, or even if you fucking hate it, leave us a review, leave us some feedback. Whatever the case, give us some feedback. But yeah, man, so I guess we were on the air for about 30 minutes without being on the air. What's new? It seems like an every week occurrence. But yeah, besides all that, let's get to the shits. Real quick.
Yeah, I'm just going to sum up everything I said. I feel like all fans who rushed, like...
We actually had a really good conversation about that. I'm really upset nobody heard it. Basically, KB was saying that if you're a fan and you get out of line, that you should be snuffed on site by
and
security
guards.
And
if you die, I won't cry for your family. Fuck you. You don't pay to go up there and harass athletes.
And basically...
And the NFL is the only sport where, like, dudes don't just... run full speed into a fan just streaking across the field and just drive their fucking head into their cranium. Honestly, you should do it. You should be arrested, and we should all laugh at you and mock you for being stupid. Like, those, like, oh, and Bostonians are shitty people. Boston fans, but yeah, Boston has just a notorious.
But yeah, that was
like,
in reference.
Fans are notoriously shitty. Red Sox fans, Patriot fans, they're trash.
Slow down.
And I'm really mad at the Red Sox for predicting the World Series.
That's in reference to the whole New England Patriots fan who threw a beer
and spat at
Tyreek Hill because, well, we don't know because he's an entitled asshole who doesn't give a fuck about the kids around him watching or give a fuck about the team that he supposedly supports or really gives a fuck about anything because I'm pretty sure he knows better to be sitting that low. I'm sure he works for a nice corporation and makes a nice salary. And damn well would not act that way at work. So why are you acting that way at a sporting game in public? Because you're entitled. Because you're an asshole. And you think Patriots fans care what you think. You think the Chiefs care what you think. You think Tyreek Hill cares what you think.
That's
not the case, man.
They banned him for life. So good for the Patriots. But,
which is something we never say on this podcast.
Yeah, I think
we never.
He
should have
been beaten and had beers thrown at him and rocks thrown at him. I hope his car got all the tires stripped bald.
And
fuck that guy. I hope the rest of his year is terrible.
And the other topic we were talking
about.
You have
no right to do that to athletes.
Was Vontaze Burfict. This past week, he had another crazy hit that was dirty and should probably get him kicked out the league. But somehow, he still perseveres. Basically, what I was saying is I was providing my insight as someone who played against him back in high school.
Got his ass beat by him in high school.
Yeah. Basically, man, he's always been that player. He's always been that overly aggressive player, that player who always makes it about himself. This dude, like, we literally watched on film one time. He made a tackle and, like, made it look like his helmet popped off, but really he just popped it off manually just so he could celebrate with his helmet off. I'll never forget that. Outside of that, though, like, this dude was really a great athlete back then. He was a great player, and, like, he really was a man amongst boys. Like, when you think about that metaphor, that's literally what I think about.
Because 5-star recruit.
He was, like, as fast as our receivers, but as big as our tackles, and it made no damn sense. But, yeah, that was the case.
But also, ASU ruined a bunch of players in your region.
Yeah, pretty
Will
much.
Will Sutton.
All them Centennial dudes and a bunch of Norco dudes went there.
Oh, yeah, and all the – you said Norco High School and a bunch of other schools. There's a history of dirty players in that region.
Yeah, pretty much that's what I was saying. Anyone who's familiar with those schools knows Norco and Corona play dirty. They've always played dirty, mainly because Norco isn't as fast as everyone because they're largely a team that's all white.
Toby Gerhart, whitest running back name ever.
And Norco – well, actually, it's a whole family.
Yeah, like, his whole family's athletes, but they're
super
white.
Oh, my God, bro. His sisters are the best softball players I've ever seen in my life. I literally watched them one game come up and just smacking home runs in softball, bro. That was crazy.
That athlete, but that, yeah, the family's tangent. Freakishly athletic.
Yeah.
Because they had a quarterback. Steroids.
But that's just my regional bias. Besides all the steroids, let's talk about.
Shout out to South Torrance for having a bunch of athletes who were on steroids back when I played.
And Corona's always that blue-collar team that's undersized, hella Mexican, and really those two teams haven't competed with Centennial in, like, 20 years. So their only hopes of competing is essentially poking people in the eyes, stomping people, socking people out in piles.
A trash-ass Hawthorne High, they did that. One of my teammates, 2010, they broke his ankle in a pile. I said before the game, hey – and during film study, don't end up in a pile because they're 0-42 and they will try to injure you. And they did.
So pretty much since Centennial came up as kind of the new school compared to those two schools when they first started, they kind of inherited that culture by osmosis. And so they've kind of owned it on their own. They don't need to be dirty anymore because, well, they just have the best athletes in the area and they're well coached. And they're a great team. They've been for, like, a decade at least. But, yeah.
Shout out to Compton Centennial for actually doing some dirty shit back in the day, too. I don't care if it is Kendrick Lamar's high school. They were playing with cats who I'm pretty sure who are over 19. But whatever.
But, yeah, my main question to you was, on this topic, was how has a player like Vontaze Burfict somehow still persevered in this league and doesn't necessarily have the same black ball reputation as someone like Aqib Talib or Ndamukong Suh, who are both actually well-prepared, well-respected, great football players, and actually do a lot of good in the community?
My point pretty much was and is because Vontaze Burfict has never been great. Like, I remember Odell Beckham or Odell Thurman, who was the first-round pick out of Georgia for the Bengals, and he was really the guy. He was great fresh out the gate, but he had drug issues and all that stuff. And kind of got pushed out of the league. But I look at a guy like Vontaze Burfict, who's had all types of issues, just let him stay. It's not like he's a Rodney Harrison type player, who Rodney Harrison was elite at one point for his position. But, like, he's just dirty as hell, and he sticks around. And it's like, why is he the linchpin of the Bengals defense for some reason? He's really kind of just, like, you could replace Vontaze Burfict and be fine. But for whatever reason, he sticks around. I think he'd been great in the old era of football, but in this particular case, in this time, I'm surprised he's not the one getting all the roughing the passer calls and all these other calls instead of guys like Clay Matthews, you know, guys like Wendell Hayes or whoever. It's just ridiculous to me that this dude is still in the league. Like, it was one thing with Hines Ward, who, by the way, ended Keith Rivers' career after that blindside hit that broke his jaw instantly. He played physical. Yeah, he was kind of dirty, but he was also a great player. So he was respected, but he was a great player. And I still say Isaac Bruce is better than Hines Ward. Pete, you know I'm right, but whatever. In this particular case with a guy like Burfict, he gets by on the fact that he's so physical and can play so physical. And let's be honest, all coaches have that one guy on the team
who's that they favor.
They enable his violence and his destructive ways because they know the team needs it.
Except for it literally cost him a playoff game 2 years ago, the last time they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, him and Adam Jones. Which, by the way, he's on IR because I think he broke his leg or something. He got embarrassed when the Jets played the Broncos and he got ran over.
All right, man. Well, that's enough for talking about things we already talked about. Let's move on to some new content. Man, shout out to Paul Allen,
RIP.
Co-founder of Microsoft. Owner of the Seattle Seahawks, and I think he owns the Portland Trailblazers, too. Yeah, big personality in the Pacific Northwest.
Got them a new stadium,
made both those teams relevant. Shout out to him, man.
Died at 65. They announced a couple weeks ago his cancer came back. It was like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Andre Hall, the Texan safety, he has that, but his is in remission. He's actually been practicing.
Yeah, he's actually been practicing. But yeah, man, cancer is real, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or how much influence you got or how many teams you own. Cancer don't play, man. It's unfortunate. But yeah, outside of that, I know you wanted to talk about somebody else who died this week, so why don't you go ahead and let people know.
He actually died last week, but we just forgot to mention it because we were talking about so much stuff. George.
And I was reckless.
You were pretty reckless last week. You came in hot. George Taliaferro, he was the first African-American drafted in the National Football League, died October 8th of this year, went to Indiana, from Indiana, and played halfback, quarterback, was drafted in the 13th round, the 129th overall pick in the 1949 NFL draft, and, man, he played all types of positions, was a pioneer. And definitely somebody that history should not forget. He was 90 years old.
Why doesn't he have as much clout as, let's say, Jackie Robinson or anybody else?
Well, it's twofold. The same way people hype on Jackie Robinson, they forget a lot about his brother was way better than him. And there was an issue at the time of, like, Jackie Robinson was seen by a lot of black people. These are my words or my perspective. This is just history I'm stating. They saw him as a coon because he sucked with the white people and he took all that abuse when there's a lot of black people at the time, like his brother, who weren't going to stand for that. So Jackie Robinson's kind of propped up by a lot of white people and a lot of teams in baseball. But then you forget about Ernie. You forget about, like, all the great Negro League baseball players who didn't want to cross over and didn't want to deal with that. I forget his name. Josh. So I keep forgetting his name. It was Josh something. But like, you have guys like Satchel Paige, was a pitcher who played until he was 50. Jack Robinson's brother was better. You have guys like that who are, and this is just the cultural side and the politics of athletics way back then. A lot of those teams that had white owners and white coaches and everything, and GMs and all that, they wanted to pick, let's say, a comfortable Negro, an athlete who essentially wasn't going to stir up controversy, wasn't going to be a guy like Jack Johnson and stir up a bunch of shit and do what he did. So that's why, because Jackie Robinson later in life was on the record going at guys like Malcolm X, MLK, like disparaging them, and a couple other black leaders. So that's where there's kind of a rift. Depending on older black people who you ask, there's a really bad rift in history with that. But with black players back then playing football, integration, you already know most of them are going to get looked over, and they were damn sure going to get looked over for playing quarterback. So that's why Taliaferro, a guy like him, played so many different positions. They weren't willing to ever play a black player at QB. So with him, you find out, oh, he was a great athlete, played all these other positions. Race played a huge factor in the 40s and the 50s. So there's that, and there's just, even look at like black colleges, HBCUs. How many of us really know all the great Hall of Fame players that came out of HBCUs. And there's a lot.
Shout out to Malik Obi.
Yep. Shout out to Walter Payton. There's a black player who played with him, went in the Hall of Fame this year. Two of his teammates, they all played at Jackson State. You have Aeneas Williams.
Any other points?
But yeah.
Before I change the topic?
Yeah, just, man, we really got to dig deep and look at all the guys from the past. Because it's crazy. Like, in 100 years from now.
I mean, that's like anything, though, man. It's like, it's the same thing with Rosa Parks.
Yeah, but we already know that. Like, we already know
what I'm saying.
Parks,
it's just like, yeah.
Like, there's
people that are false icons for whatever for various reasons.
Yeah, and there's also the sheer fact that we forget about a lot of the people who break through those glass ceilings. Because when you think about it, a person who breaks through a glass ceiling, they're the one with all the shards and the pain and everything. Like, the people who come after them don't deal with that. They may deal with some shards or some after effects, but the person who goes through the glass ceiling first, a lot of times they die broken and alone. And I could point to a bunch of different scholars, you know, black scholars and all types of people who died broke and poor and destitute. Even like inventors like Tesla died broke with nothing. That's because Thomas Jefferson fucked him over out of all his stuff, but that's a whole other story. Don't get done like Tesla.
All right, man. So I want to shout out the NFL for actually doing something good this week. Supposedly they had concussion interventions last year for teams that had a disproportionate amount of concussions in preseason. There were 7 football teams. Out of those 7 football teams, 6 of them drastically cut down their concussions in this year's preseason already. And overall, the NFL says concussions are down just as a whole from last year, which is kind of funny that we're hearing about it now after the fact because, well, that is the PR machine. That is the NFL. And, yeah, they do shady shit under the table like collusion, and we won't hear about it till after the fact. But besides that, it's good that concussions are down. We don't want to take away from that fact because concussions suck, and they really put a black mark on this game. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Anything involving head injuries in the NFL, and they're the ones coming out and saying it, I just don't believe it. I've seen guys like, and I haven't really watched any of the games. I mostly catch highlights. But I've seen dudes get knocked the hell out. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Until like 2 weeks from now when I question his credibility. And then I'd be like, I watch all the games, bro. But yeah, go ahead. Finish. Sorry.
Yeah, you're funny. You're funny. I actually don't watch the games like that. And mostly I usually work on Sundays.
All right.
College football, yes, I watch all day. But when it comes to the pros, this concussion thing, man, there's already I was going to save this till the end. But like, teams are getting fined for injury report, leaving stuff off, falsifying it, whatever. That's been happening. Even if you just take out concussions, just getting injured in football alone. How many times did you play hurt, Pete?
Yeah, but that's not a good example.
No, but I'm saying like in high school, that's college, not a good example, every though. Level, people get.
That's not a good example.
No,
though.
You're not listening. Cats get hurt all the time, get injured all the time. And we don't necessarily.
But let me tell you why it's different.
Concussions. They're just hypersensitive towards concussions right now.
Let me tell you why it's different.
Because they have to be.
Let me tell you why
it's different.
But I
really don't believe those numbers.
Let me tell you, on the injury note, let me tell you why it's different. Here's why it's different. Because, I mean, at relatively all levels, it's on the person to self-report whatever they're feeling.
Think about it.
Whatever injury
they're
having.
You're not even in your right mind
whatever hurt
to report that you're having a concussion.
But.
Like, that's having brain damage, and you're telling me I'm responsible for telling you I have brain damage.
Anyways, will you let me finish my fucking point?
No, I just wanted you to consider it.
No, because you're just lingering on the first thing that I said instead of listening. You're focusing on the hate and not letting me get to the love. Anyways.
Fucking. Okay, Joe Biden Jr.
Anyways, what I was trying to say is the difference is that the NFL has a responsibility as a business, as a corporation, to self-report these things because guess what? There's a ton of money involved as far as fans going to games, as far as sponsorships, as far as fantasy football. So that's why they need to report these things. That's why you need to report if you see someone has an injury. It's not because they really care about the person and want to prevent the concussion. It's because they don't want that person to mysteriously be out a next game when he shouldn't have been playing. So that's why the injury report matters in the NFL, and that's why they're getting fined. It's not because they care. It's because they don't want players mysteriously out.
It's all competition.
They don't want players being rested.
Like, if you knew Tom Brady had NBA? If you knew Tom Brady had a concussion, you can plan for the fact that he's not going to play if he doesn't go through concussion.
Well, besides protocol. That, I mean, besides that, even
so, it is gamesmanship.
Even remember when we had that whole controversy about Tom Brady saying he has concussions, even though he's never been diagnosed with
That's
one
why
formally.
I brought it up. Yeah,
yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, it's a good point that you make about
gamesmanship,
you know,
on the coach
having. How am I supposed to report that I have brain damage when I have brain damage? Yeah, it's ironic as fuck, for sure. But that's why it's on the team to actually, you know, pay attention to these things and monitor these things, because obviously your competitive spirit is going to be biased and make you want to play. So that's why the team is supposed to be unbiased, which they're not, because team doctors have all types of conflict of interest. But we don't need to talk about that.
And the medical Hippocratic Oath. I can't have my mom call in for that. Oh, man.
That's a whole another issue.
Yeah, because. But anyway.
Yeah, man. So, next thing I wanted to shout out, this week's Petty Person of the Week, Jerry Jones. We can't even hear sound effects anyway, so I don't know why you're getting hype about it.
I don't know why, but I just got hype about it, and now I'm mad.
Yeah, man, Jerry Jones. So Terrence Williams got suspended for 3 games, and basically Jerry Jones said they haven't had a number one receiver in years.
He said that last week, but I just think it's really funny that this week Terrence Williams gets busted, suspended for 3 games for substance abuse violation.
But here's why it's petty, because he wasn't saying that when Dez Bryant was there for 5 years, and he was saying he's one of the best receivers in the entire league.
When he said it
so
was a
Jerry
catch.
Jones, shut the fuck up. Get out of here, bro. You have money to count. You have a franchise. Like,
hey, Jerry Jones.
You just need to shut up, bro. I'm tired of hearing from you. Like, you and John Gruden just need to shut up.
The fact that
you guys can talk to each other. How about that?
Exactly. The fact that Jerry Jones.
You can
Jones,
call each other and rant and make it a podcast.
Oh, no, because it'll never shut up.
Old white dudes with bad haircuts. Bad haircuts and bad eyes.
And bad moral judgment. Moral
man, that should be a thread. John,
are we going to make that a thread for the
John
episode?
Gruden and Jerry Jones have a podcast. Title it.
Cattle trading? No, that's foul. There's racist undertones there.
From you? What? You what? Pointing out racist undertones? All right, but get to your college football segment, because you have a lot there, so go ahead.
I mean, is
hit the bell.
School's back in session, unless you know you don't want to pay for it and you know it's a scam.
Or you're not enrolled.
Shut the fuck up, Pete.
Bruh. But yeah, man, hurry up.
That was offensive. Not to me. And definitely not to Nick Bosa. So, Nick Bosa considered to be... Pete, stop touching your nipples. Like, it's weird. Like, wear a fucking loose shirt next time.
Jesus. Nobody's touching my nipples. I was fixing my cardigan, you weirdo.
I was fixing my cardigan. Okay, yeah. All right, Pete. Wear looser... My cardigan doesn't fit. It's too tight. Maybe you should go to the gym then. Anyway. Nick Bosa.
Are you done masking your take and poking fun at me? Because
you
stumbled over your thoughts, so you just went with the easy bait, which was making fun of me.
No, I was going to go with a really cruel joke.
On top of the fact,
I pulled back.
On top of the fact that distracted you from your own sweater that has your fupa hanging out.
First
go ahead.
That's a false.
Go ahead.
It's a false equivalency.
Go ahead. Let's go on
IG
Live.
It's a false equivalency.
Let's go on IG Live.
We can.
Yeah, you're lucky my phone's dead, because I'll really
your
make
this. Your phone's always dead,
as he
bro.
Fixes his sweater. As he fixes his
first
sweater.
First off, I fixed my
but
shirt.
Yeah, man, get to your point about Nick
sweater.
Bosa. Shout out to Miles Jack for paving the way, but go ahead, get to Nick Bosa.
Did Miles Jack really pave the way? Damn.
Didn't he?
That's a good point. Nah, I feel like somebody paved it before him. I feel like Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey.
Miles Jack was before them.
Yeah, but Miles Jack was just hurt.
And they did the bowl game. That's what this is.
No, they didn't play in their bowl games.
That's what Nick. This is that's what Nick Bosa is. Nick Bosa hurt and he's taking off to recover. Nick Bosa. That's literally what Miles Jack did.
Did a boss move and just put his nuts on the table and was like, "Look, I'm just gonna withdraw from my house."
That's what Miles Jack did. That's literally what Miles Jack did.
He had a torn. He was hurt. Like he wasn't coming back at all during the season. He was done. He couldn't have come back. Bosa
wasn't Bosa
got
out
surgery.
To like half the season. Like
they were gonna
six
say
years,
he was gonna come back
weeks?
Like week 10 or some shit. He still
yeah,
didn't pay
that's
back.
The same
no,
thing.
No, it's different because okay. It's like tearing an ACL and breaking your big toe. Like one of those you can come back. Tearing your ACL, you're not coming back for the season. But I get what you're saying with Jack. He's just supposed to shut it down completely, and he didn't go back to school. Which, looking at how he plays in the NFL, he probably should have. But whatever.
He's not that bad.
Did you see Cole Beasley shit on the Jacksonville Jaguars defense last week? They lost 40-7. You have a meme prepared. Like, come on. They were bad. Well, Nick Bosa, he had a core muscle injury. It could be any type of core muscle. We don't know. Probably something painful on the level of, like, worse than a hernia. But I'm not going
to
speculate.
It looked like someone sent Jalen Ramsey to the sunken place and put I'm trying to think of the put DJ Hayden in his body.
No, he put Carl Joseph in his body.
Nah, I'm talking about an actual trash corner.
Okay. He put Reggie Nelson in his body then.
Trash corner.
He put Reggie Nelson in his body on the field. Is that better?
No. I was still talking about a corner. Persisted on safety. You literally.
Well,
because
Reggie Nelson can't cover. And Jaden Jordan.
Yeah, man. Get back to
Ramsey. Ramsey got busted up. But anyway. Anyway. So, yeah, Nick Bosa pretty much is going to withdraw from Ohio State. He's going to prepare for the 2019 NFL draft. Shout out to him and shout out to Ed Oliver, the Houston defensive tackle / defensive end, who are pretty much going to be at the top of the list, even though Nick Bosa has super pro Donald Trump all over his Twitter, and he hated Black Panther for like the stupidest reason. It's gonna be interesting come pre-draft talks, see if that'll be a character flaw, because we all love to know that like certain guys get talked about differently when you know pre-draft analysis comes around. Certain people who have like let's say certain opinions and viewpoints compared to other players. So it'll be interesting.
Is this any different than what Jadeveon Clowney did?
No, because Clowney wasn't playing good that year.
And
his
he shut
junior,
her down.
His junior year was a flop. No,
he got exposed.
Bosa had like 6.5 sacks in like 4 games or some crazy shit like that. Like Bosa was on pace to have an All-American type year. And he was winning on most of his pass rush snaps. So Bosa was having a great year until he got hurt. And he missed the TCU game. So it's different. Good luck to him, and hopefully this does set a precedence.
It was 4 sacks in 3 games.
Yeah, so he was on pace to do big shit. But good for him. Ohio State's loaded on defense. They don't even really need him. Dwayne Haskins is pretty much on pace to have the greatest single season for Ohio State quarterback ever. Like, really, Dwayne Haskins is the shit. Shout out to him. Shout out to him having like 28 touchdowns and like on pace to have more passing yards than Manziel and Lamar Jackson. He's killing it. But anyway, to more injuries, senior outside linebacker / defensive end. I really call him an outside linebacker because I've yet to see him actually in a 3-point stance and rush the passer. And the way USC's defense is set up with Clancy Pendergast, it's mostly kind of like a hybrid 3-4.
Nobody cares about Pac-12 football.
Shut up.
Because you know I'm right.
Bro, you're a UCLA
exactly,
fan.
Exactly. I don't even care about Pac-12
but
football.
I'm not. Like, he fractured his ankle, and he's really done for the
Pac-12 NFL. Football is really back to, like, 90s Pac-12 football.
Nah, like the mid-2000s.
Yeah. Like before.
Before
no.
USC's dominant run, yeah. When they went to Rose Bowls and were good towards
yeah.
the end.
Like, 8-4 is winning the Pac-12 now.
That's nasty. Like, really, though? USC's probably going to go 8-4 with a high school senior for a quarterback. Because, really, he only played his junior year. He transferred. Shout out to JT Daniels, I guess. But anyway, Gustin.
Pretty soon we're going to have the reincarnation of Joey Harrington.
That's nasty. We don't want to have that. No one wants that. Joey Harrington doesn't even want that. Let that man live. He's off minding his own business. Leave Joey Harrington the fuck alone, man. He ain't do nothing to you. He probably is a nice guy. But anyway, so he fractured his ankle. He actually had 7 sacks at the time. It was like, I think he's 7th nationally in sacks. So he was on pace to have an All-American type year. But he gets hurt, finishes his career with like 137 tackles, 21 and a half sacks. And he's another guy who have to wait to see at the combine. Because he's a freak of nature athletically. But he looks kind of stiff. So it's like, I don't know if he's really Clay Matthews 2.0. Or just a buff-ass, strong pass rusher who really isn't fast enough.
Joey Harrington was so bad, they haven't had a pocket passer at Oregon since.
Herbert Mariota.
Oh, you did not call Mariota a pocket passer.
Mariota was a pocket passer who could run.
Stop.
Bro, he was a pass-first QB.
Stop.
Do you want to go back? Look up Marcus Mariota's.
Just because I passed all over, you in NCAA 12 and 13 doesn't mean he was a pocket passer.
We never played NCAA football together. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm just talking shit.
You just know. You've been better off saying you played with the Titans one time. I'd be like, nah, I respect myself too much to do that. But anyway, so, yeah, pass rusher, da-da-da, Bosa. Yeah, I think it's just going to be the standard now. A lot of cats are just going to be shutting down and not playing their bowl games.
You're not even talking about Bosa anymore. Are you serious right now?
I know.
Did you really just go back?
No, like, because Gustin.
Are you good, bro?
I'm good. But, like,
worse
with
than
the Gustin
our audio
situation,
technology.
Nah, shut up. Wow.
Anyways, man, let's get to take a tangent.
I actually had one thing I was going to talk about. Raekwon Davis, Alabama defensive end, was pretty much caught on tape punching the shit out of a Missouri player. I mean, both fists, just going in. Ground and pound punching the shit out of a guy from Mizzou, and he's going to get suspended for it. So, yeah. And that dude's like 6'7". I'm only like, that's what I was going to say. People, fans.
Is there a better linebacker name than Raekwon?
There really isn't.
Like,
you can't be trash with a name like Raekwon. In life, you can't be trash. Raekwon, the fucking chef. Raekwon McKillen, the Dolphins linebacker, who's really good, even though he tore his ACL his first year and the Raiders passed on him. I'm really getting tired of saying the Raiders passed on people. But speaking of which, to double back around, because honestly, with college football, LSU beat the shit out of Georgia, which was really shocking. They actually have a quarterback now, which goes to my point. When they have a quarterback, they're probably going to win national title. Joe Burrow, Ohio State transfer. They beat the dog shit out of Georgia, like 36-13 or something crazy. And LSU's going to have alternate unis.
But they lost to Florida.
Yeah, which is weird. But, like, they beat Georgia, like, the third-ranked team in the nation.
Almost as weird as
Kentucky
USC
still ranked.
Being everyone and losing to Arizona.
No, they beat Arizona.
Like, 3 years ago?
No, they beat Arizona this year.
I was talking about, like, 3 years ago.
That's true. But then they beat Colorado this year, too, which is 5-0. Colorado's, like, the most trash good team ever. Like, really. Like, when was the last time Colorado was really good?
When they had a female kicker? Oh, wait. Never mind. Yeah, I'm a scumbag. Sorry.
You said that out loud for people to hear.
I'm just
going to
go in the,
like,
corner.
They literally started up a whole campaign.
Nah, I know. I'm
for her.
Yeah.
And they connected to the girl who got assaulted at Stanford.
Yep.
You're going to, like, the nastiest part of Hell's Way.
No, but really, though, like, that's really what started the fall off, and then that whole
Cody Hawkins and his dad.
Yeah, and then after that.
Don't make your son start quarterback.
They went overmatched in the Pac-12, and they're just finally starting to, like, catch up and get competitive.
They only were good. Honestly, Boise State's a better team than them, and the only reason why Boise State won't get put in the Pac-12 is because of the whole LDS thing, because sometimes those cats go on LDS missions, and the fact that their other sports aren't that good. But, I mean, Utah. Colorado, I don't believe in Colorado. But anyway.
Wait, why is Boise State an LDS school?
They have people who go on missions, and I don't fucking get it. Because, like, there's a lot of Mormons in Idaho. There's a lot of Mormons in Idaho.
Yeah, but you just said Latter-day Saints. Isn't that a different thing than Mormons?
But they still have people.
Yeah.
That's
definitely a different thing.
No, time out. They have people who go on those LDS missions, though. I'm not even joking. Like, they do. Boise State has guys go on those Mormon missions, which I'm confused about.
And all right, LDS man. I don't really care. So
USC had a guy go on the LDS mission. But anyway.
So, Devontae Freeman and Ted Ginn are on IR. You got to take our tangent on that.
Devontae Freeman ruined my fantasy life.
And what it means for the NFC South.
He wasn't really useful on that Falcons team anyway when he did play.
I disagree, but.
Nah, Tevin.
Look at their run game now.
Yeah, but they have another guy taking the place of him. And you have Tevin Coleman, who's a better home run hitter anyway, and a better receiver out the backfield. And now you have a chance to give Calvin Ridley and those receivers. And Austin Hooper's gotten more targets. The passing game has opened up. I'm not really going to miss Freeman. Because when he played, he didn't do much. He didn't really do anything against Philly before he got hurt. And he also ruined my fantasy hopes this year. Him and Derrick Henry. I'm 3-3 now. Getting my ass handed to me in fantasy football.
What about the Saints? Who takes over as the home run?
Traquan Smith out of UCF, who another guy the Raiders passed on. In addition to the fact that the Packers receivers are all eating because Equanimeous St. Brown had like 100 yards, I think, for the Packers against the Niners. And so did Valdez.
Shout out to me.
Scantling. Valdez Scantling.
Shout out to me.
South Florida. Bro, I'll give you I'll give you Equanimeous, but you're not getting Scantling. You're not getting Valdez Scantling. I call it that. You ain't watch University of South Florida.
I really didn't.
You really didn't.
I really didn't.
You really don't ever watch them play. How dare you? I'll just all right. Alexia quit
next
flowers.
One, since my technology's all dead.
but yeah,
Amari Cooper and Carl Joseph are on the trading block.
It turns
for
out
the Raiders. Turns out John Gruden is seeking a first-round pick for Amari Cooper and basically will take whatever you can get for Carl Joseph and possibly Gary Young Conley.
Oh, my God. Trade with the Cardinals already. Okay, first off, trade with the Cardinals already because Bidwell, the team president or owner, already said that they're not trading Patrick Peterson because they'd have to give up too much. But honestly, John Gruden is fucking stupid. I'm pretty sure John Gruden got sold to Oregano as a kid when he tried to smoke weed for the first time. The fact that his muscle-bound son is working for the Raiders already is like, okay. This reeks of Dan Hawkins, Cody Hawkins all over again. By the way, there should be a 30 for 30 on how shitty that Colorado program was because Dan Hawkins kept starting Cody Hawkins. But this, like, the fact that John Gruden's son is like one of the strength coaches – and the fact that he's pretty much usurped and just castrated Reggie McKenzie's role as GM. And the fact that he gave up a second-round pick for, like, the greatest pass rusher in the league, which is just stupid. Like, I expect them to trade Cooper for, like, a fourth-round pick. Watch. They're going to get trash back for Cooper.
Honestly, man.
And he'll be better with the whatever
honestly,
new team he goes to.
Honestly, my tangent on that. Exactly. That was exactly my point.
Trade him
exactly
to Cleveland,
my point.
He'll be a fucking all-pro receiver. Watch.
Honestly, man, at this point, I really want Derek Carr, Amari Cooper. I want all them dudes to get traded just because.
You're going to blow the whole team up?
Yeah, man. I feel bad for every single person on the Raiders right now because, honestly, Raiders are trash. They're so trash that a Raider fan actually created a website. It's JohnGrudenGoneYet.net, which you can check up. It is a real-time ticker on John Gruden's contract and when it expires. So, yeah, I got it bookmarked on my regular computer. I got it bookmarked on my work computer. I got it bookmarked on my remote work computer. Like, yeah.
I just...
FTG.
The Raiders are so terrible. Like, it's just bad. Like, the reason why a lot of businesses fail is usually because of shitty management. Like, that's one of the number one causes I know.
Which, by the way, there's exactly 9 years, 12 weeks, 6 days, 15 hours, 16 minutes, and 9 seconds left on John Gruden's contract. This update was brought to you is GrudenGoneYet.com.
Damn! All I want to say is this. Most people leave companies because the middle management is shitty and terrible. and the Raiders are a microcosm of workplace life. Get rid of your best employee.
When you get a, yeah, especially when you get a new CEO or a new
for a VP. Shitty middle manager with a stupidly high inflated contract, and he's
and ego
all, and like
he's, don't forget the ego.
Oh, with ego,
he got a big ego.
Pause. Don't ever sing like that again. Ooh. I hope. Ooh. By the way, we're gonna be on the Get Right this Sunday, and I hope they flame the shit out of you for how you just horribly sang. Hope they make you sing on the spot.
I'm cool.
But honestly, yeah. Like, his ego is so big it needs a wheelbarrow and, like, a safety deposit box.
All right.
That's how disgusting John Gruden is. Just, it's just oozing everywhere. It's nasty. It's like a broken toilet that's overflooded of just shittiness. That's the Raiders.
Next one. The NFL, apparently, this week at NFL owners' meetings, one of the big topics of discussion was your, I'm talking to the listeners, Los Angeles Chargers.
Among the, they were actually talking about who's gonna, what's gonna happen with the Seahawks and Paul Allen too.
The Chargers' revenue goal was $400 million in luxury seats. That goal was cut to $150 million.
Bruh.
The Chargers are also last in the league with 26,000 average attendance. Of course, their venue's only sits 27,000. So, yeah, they were going to be. But if you
a
actually watch
stadium
the game,
in Carson next to
even
Cal
when
State,
those seats are sold, they're not often filled. And if they're filled, they're filled by opposing fans. And, yeah, pretty much the Chargers are trash. I got an inside source. Yeah. I won't out them. But basically, he told me like a month ago that the Rams are pretty much like 80% done with their season tickets. The Raiders are like 60% done, and the Chargers are probably barely like 10% sold. So yeah, the Chargers are going through some shit. NFL is gonna have to figure it out, and who knows?
How about stop having to play at fucking Cal State Dominguez Hills? Yeah, that sounds real exciting. How about you just build a stadium in North
How about now I don't even want the damn Raiders in L.A. because they're so trash and an embarrassment to what would be Marcus Allen's L.A. Raiders?
Unless you give me free tickets, and even then I'll be talking shit the whole time, and I'm not even paying for concessions.
Next one, take a tangent. Your girl, Riri, Rihanna, said she was offered the Super Bowl halftime show, but she turned it down and suggested that people support Cap, and that's one of the reasons why she shut it down. So you got to take her a tangent on that?
I think all black entertainers should do that. Or it would be really funny if, like, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Rihanna all agreed to do the Super Bowl and then just did perform the whole time on a knee, like all of them.
That sounds like a South Park episode.
And Kaepernick jerseys, and just all.
Hey, write that screenplay right now, please.
Easy work. I better get credit for it. But yeah, like, but since they're not going to do that, I think they should just be like, no, we're not going to perform. Get fucking Adam Levine and Maroon 5 to do it, and then you have fucking ratchet ass Cardi B, and then you have Travis Scott. They're going to be there for precisely 2 minutes and 36 seconds dancing, shaking their ass, and then it'll be over. And then it'll be just a bunch of Maroon 5 hits because we know who the Super Bowl caters to. And it's especially when you're getting a pop band like Maroon 5, it's mostly white people.
That's not true. That's factually incorrect.
No, it's okay. You're,
that's factually incorrect.
Cardi B, Travis Scott, Maroon 5. What do you think their both their fan bases are kind of white because mostly white people buy most of the music, like, and especially in hip hop, white people usually buy more music than anybody else. Those are facts.
Those aren't facts.
Like, it's true. Most white people buy. White people buy most.
The NFL demographics are actually pretty.
But I'm talking
even.
About like they
and,
picked
and
a person.
Broadcast schedules are pretty even.
Who's Maroon?
And actually,
who do you think most of Maroon 5 fans
are? And actually, you know who watches the most TV?
Yeah, I know. Black people.
Exactly.
Black, depending on what time.
And you know what's the largest TV event?
Black people are only 13%.
And what's
of the
largest TV?
In case you didn't know that.
And what's the largest?
Black people are like 40%.
What's the largest TV event?
The Super Bowl.
Okay.
But did you notice I said black people are 13% of the population compared to like white people who are 40%? So again, who do you think whose fan base do you think is bigger? You tell me Maroon 5's fan base is all black people?
No, that's not what I was
saying.
But
I'm saying
at all.
Their fan base is predominantly.
I'm saying
going
you can't say
the
Super
crowd.
Bowl caters to one thing because it's not. It's the biggest event in TV.
So it doesn't matter who you plop there.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
But I'm saying
it
Maroon
like
5,
really doesn't matter who you plop
you're,
there.
You're,
like,
so you're telling me
really
everybody
matter.
In the hood blasting Maroon 5? That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that all their fans are white, but most of their fans are white. It's Maroon 5. Do you really going to argue this point and you know, like, most of their fan base
okay,
is white?
So
I'm just saying.
How many times has Beyonce done the halftime show?
I think, what, twice?
She's done it, like,
first off,
she's done it once officially, and she's been in, like, three.
Beyonce
she's been in
is
like
a
three or
super
four.
Mega star, like, on Michael Jackson's level. So you can't even really, like, Beyonce can perform in a fucking liquor store down the street, and guess what? Everyone's showing up. Everyone's stopping what they're doing. That's an outlier.
You know what would have been really crazy? You know what would
have
been?
Had the Panthers won that year?
No. You know
during Black History Month on the eve of the Black Panthers? That would
have been
crazy.
You know what would have been dumb crazy?
I feel like if they...
They had Kanye West at the halftime show.
I'll fucking die. Bro, I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
Oh, fuck. They should just get Joe Budden to do his podcast on halftime show.
I will literally just play...
Shout out to the Uber driver who's playing the Joe Budden podcast because everyone knows I refuse to download Spotify. So
I have Spotify, though, and
YouTube.
It's great. You peasant.
Fuck Spotify.
You fucking peasant.
Fuck Spotify.
Our shit's on Spotify, stupid.
Okay, once again, fuck Spotify. If you're listening to this on Spotify, fuck you too.
And there goes the seven people who was listening to us.
All right, man. So, last one, or one of the last ones.
I had one.
Adam Thielen,
oh, shit,
your boy.
Never mind.
Man, he's been getting all kinds of hype. I've heard people say he deserves as much money as Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. I've also heard he's an MVP candidate. So, do you got a take or a tangent on Adam Thielen as one of the best receivers in the league?
This is going to piss some people off, but God sent me here to piss the world off, so I don't really care. Anyway.
Adam Thielen appeals to fantasy football fans.
Yeah.
There you go.
I passed on him.
I said it.
I passed on him, and
there
I'm
you
sick
go.
About it. Him
I
and
said
Stephon
it.
Diggs. Like,
Adam
that's
Thielen's
why I'm
audience is nerdy football.
Nerdy white dudes.
Nerdy fantasy
he
football.
He played at Minnesota State, ran a 4.46. Made his way into the roster. He's a dog. Right? He's a legit good to great receiver. But Kirk Cousins has been targeting him way more than Stephon Diggs. And Stephon Diggs is a better player than Adam Thielen, I would say. That's why he has 100 yards in every game he's played this year. Because he ain't on a level of an Antonio Brown. He's just not. He's fast enough. He makes great plays.
I said this on Twitter, man. Do you fans watch
Stephon
football?
Stephon Diggs was a 5-star recruit.
Do you watch football or do you just skim through it?
Because, like, it's clearly Kirk Cousins targeting his, you know, it's the great white receiver syndrome.
And fuck all
that.
3 or 4 years. I know I've hated on him in the past. You can look through the archive. I've hated on him plenty of times.
Let's talk about it.
But honestly, DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the game.
I don't know why you hated on him either. It's because he ran a 4.57.
Yeah.
The Raiders passed on him.
Yeah,
the Raiders
honestly,
passed on DeAndre Hopkins, Pete.
Tell me what receiver has a better combination of routes, hands,
and just
overall playmaking ability.
And he has real game speed.
Like, he's literally like Antonio Brown and Julio
he's
Jones combined.
Minus the speed, but has everything else.
Minus the speed. Kenny never let someone forget their 40-yard dash.
Yeah, humble beginnings, dog.
And honestly, if you want to talk about narrative,
you have a 93 speed
if you
want to
talk about
though.
Narrative, why doesn't Juju get more love, considering he's number 5 in receiving?
I call Juju.
Only 150 yards behind Adam Thielen, playing for a way less pass-happy offense, and
Schuster
with another number one wide receiver.
Schuster
so why doesn't
slowly,
he get love?
Schuster's going to phase out Antonio Brown in like 3 years.
So he's going to
phase him out.
He's going to hit him with
the
Mike
offense.
Wallace?
He's going to phase him out, yeah.
He's going to hit him with the Mike
All
Wallace?
All Steelers receivers get phased out. Hines Ward got phased out.
Mike Wallace, Antoine Randall, Emmanuel
Santonio
Sanders.
Holmes.
Damn, I forgot about Santonio Holmes.
They
Shout
picked
out the Jets, Santonio Holmes.
They picked Antonio Brown over Emmanuel Sanders. He got cut. Like he was like one of the last cuts, and he ended up making it somewhere else. But when it comes to that, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster's a beast. I called him ever since Long Beach Poly.
Which I called Emmanuel Sanders. You can check the tape.
At SMU?
Way back then, yeah.
At SMU?
Yep.
All right, I'll give you that. By the way, I heard Cole Beasley rap, and he actually has bars. I was shocked.
What?
I was like, what the fuck?
Wait, what? You got to play that next week. I'm not ready next week.
I can play it right now, but I don't want to. But, like, Cole Beasley has bars. And somebody said on Twitter, Cole Beasley is actually a rapper.
All right, man. So let's close it out.
Some people say, yeah, I'm actually a football player, too. But, yeah, man. Thielen, I think he's great, but I feel like a lot of wide receivers get a hell amount of targets. And that's why, like, Jason Witten is overrated, in my opinion. But he's still great. Really? Who was better on that team, him or T.O.? When T.O.'s leading the league in touchdown catches. Please tell me that you're not going to sit up here and say Jason Witten was better than T.O.
Okay. Jason Witten.
Dez Bryant got a lot of his catches were taken and given to Jason Witten.
Jason Witten, Todd Heap.
Don't put Todd Heap in the same category.
Todd Heap.
Todd Heap
and what's that Steelers receiver?
Wow.
I mean Steelers tight end?
You're disrespectful, dog.
I forget his name. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Heath Miller?
Heath Miller. And Heath Miller walking to a bar. Which one do you notice?
Heath Miller, because he
with no helmet on. Which one do you notice?
Shit, that's true.
Which one could you pick out of a lineup?
I think Heath Miller was the tallest one, but damn it. Damn it. That's good, sir. Damn. That was a good one.
And what's the difference between those two guys? Well, let's see.
One had a severe amount of concussions, and we're going to pray for Todd Heap because he actually accidentally ran over his daughter and killed her, I think, last year. So prayers for him, and hopefully his family's doing good. That was really sad. Honestly,
wow, that got really dark.
Yeah. That's the last news I remember about Todd Heap. I always, like, was worried about Todd Heap coming out of Arizona State when I saw he had a 3-bar QB face mask as for a tight end. I was like, dog, that's instant fatality. Why do you have that face mask? That's like when I was playing high school football and, like, the coach gave me a helmet with a fucking running back face mask. I was like, oh, you want me to get hurt?
Nah, that was, like, a thing for a little bit. Like, 3 technique defensive tackles had running back face masks for a minute.
But, like, I had a full cage before I got hurt.
I don't know. I'm
just
saying.
Get my helmet back.
You know, I did play in Corona, so, you know, when you punch someone and your hands just happen to slide up into the throat, you know.
But it's more violent when you have a running back face mask as a lineman. That shit hurts more. You're more inclined, like, when somebody else hits you with a bigger helmet, your shit can get rocked. That's why I was like, that's a concussion helmet. Don't give me the fucking – don't give me that tiny-ass running back helmet. I'm not a linebacker. Don't give me that. But anyway.
Dog, I'm mad. I really looked up Todd Heap at ASU, and he really has a 3-bar face mask.
I told you. He had it.
He had it in the pros, too.
That's why I was like, that's why you probably got concussions. Your fucking face mask is like a kicker.
Barely goes to your damn chin.
It's kicker level. I could stick my whole fist in his face mask.
Damn, I don't even know Todd Heap played for the Cardinals.
Yes, he did. That was the last team he played for before that horrible incident happened. And he's probably dealing with concussions and CTE, too, because he had a lot of concussions in his career, bro. One time he got knocked out, and it was nasty. But, yeah.
All right, get to the Rams.
You want to – I don't really have shit to say. You want
to
go
first?
What?
You don't have shit to say?
Like, I feel like you should just go first, just because I don't have anything to say.
All right, man, I'll go first. Three, four? I'm on. All right, man, so first things first, it's been another crazy week, another bunch of
rest
events.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil. For real. You're the only father I ever knew. If I get my rich pregnant, I'm going to name it that.
You sound like the black teenage Poppy when you rap. How about that? From Highly Questionable when he reads freestyles on commercial breaks. That's what you sound like right now. We should do that and have you sing country songs.
Country is the number one. They actually did a study. More people kill themselves in country music than anything. I don't think that's a good idea between the two of us.
Probably
country music.
They're wasted.
You know, and they just left their client rally. I'm kidding.
Anyways. Yeah, so it's been another crazy week. Bunch of events once again. The boy's just out here building his brand, meeting people. So the only thing I want to say is, really, I think we all have a duty to give back. I don't know, I've talked about the past couple weeks.
But for real, like, because I think, and this is something Kenny's talked about before with the whole glass ceiling thing about really the person who goes through it first gets the most glass. But at the end of the day, that's kind of what it's about. Like, sometimes you do have to be the sacrificial lamb to help other people break through. And if you can teach someone from your insights and your learnings and put them one step ahead of you, that's great. And that's another big thing that I want to talk about, too. Hold up. On that same note, there's a real pettiness out there between communities. It's like we pit each other against each other, whether it's Hispanics opening businesses, you know, whether it's other sports podcasts, it's other shit like that. But the bottom line is, man, we got to support each other. We got to help each other grow, because I always thought about this. I've always thought about this. When I was playing football, doing all my speed training, my hundreds of dollars speed training, someone told me something that was like, don't be afraid of the people you see here with you. Even if they're on another team, even if they're from a rival school, you shouldn't be afraid of them. You're not competing with them. Who you should be afraid of is a dude you don't see in Florida, the dude you don't see in Texas busting his ass just as hard as you right now, because you don't know what he has. You know what these guys bring. You know what their strengths and weaknesses are. So you need to be helping each other and paying it forward. And that's a big thing I learned from the conference last week that I went to, which was basically about building Hispanic communities and building Hispanic businesses. People really got to support each other, regardless of if you're from a different section of Central America. The fact of the matter is, we're all on the same team, especially in the eyes of the powerful majority who does nothing but, you know, belittle us and take away our power. And on that same note, man, sometimes you just have to get out your box, especially when you're struggling creatively, to really innovate. Sometimes you need to get out there and listen to other people talk and listen to other people share ideas to really grow your own ideas. So don't be afraid to get out there. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to learn new stuff. Don't be afraid to go. And yeah, man, shout out to all you fake ass influencers out there wearing Balenciaga and big ass chains, and you ain't got nothing to say, because when you get on a panel, you can't talk because you don't even know why you're famous, and you don't even know why you got all these damn followers that you probably bought, but then all of a sudden people started buying into it because you built this fake foundation. But yeah, on that side note, shout out to Joe Budden for really exposing females in the 2010s. Because guess what, man? Y'all fake butts ruin butts now. And you ain't got no back and can't walk. So there's that. That's all I wanted to say, man.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Shout out to Ryan Perkins. Damn, is Pete calling out someone in particular?
I just want to say, don't have an Hispanic.
Hey, one more note. Don't have a Hispanic conference in Century City where you can't even walk to get tacos. That is ironic as fuck.
That is the epitome of gentrification.
And the ironic thing is, like, having a conference in an LA conference in Century City is weird, because there's so many other places you could have it that are way more LA. But at the same time, it's ironic because Century City is so fake that it is LA.
It's clout chasing. It's like the clout chasing hub, Century City.
Yeah, exactly. Sherman Oaks. Well, they're not even close to each other.
Not Sherman Oaks, but like Century.
Beverly Hills.
I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, but you're done.
No, actually, I'm not.
All right, go to your rant. Hurry up. I'm done. All right. My phone's been dead for 4 hours, so I'm trying to get out of here.
First things first, rest in pink. Oh, fuck it. I don't have it. You ruined it, Pete.
Nobody wants to hear J. Cole bars. J. Cole doesn't want to hear his own bars. That's why he be talking at his own concert so damn
much. I was
going
to do it. I was like, I don't give a fuck about this. Why am I saying I don't care? Like, sorry,
if
Ryan.
If you fuck with me since the workout plan, I just want to say I love you. Blah, blah, blah. Shout out to all my Dreamville fans.
Blah, blah, blah. It wasn't the workout plan. First off, That's Kanye.
Shout out to Jay-Z for making me an industry plant.
Who that?
Well, and for promoting me more than Wale.
Did you just call him in? Okay, first off, what we're not going to do in this Wale versus J. Cole
shit.
Because honestly, Wale fans and J. Cole fans are the same fucking people. We're not going to sit up here and do that. Matter of fact, let me mute your mic and get
and shout out to Memphis Bleak and Freeway and all them rock family boys for being the sacrificial lambs that eventually paid way for me.
Okay.
Shout out to Vic Mensa for being a cheaper
punk ass bitch
version of me.
Shout out to Vic Mensa.
And that was my J. Cole impersonation.
Cersei looking ass motherfucker. Anyway, all right. You done? All right, cool.
Fuck J. Cole.
Pete said fuck J. Cole. Wow. All right. Dreamville is going to come after you. You didn't even know what they look like. That's the scary part. You're going to get some fucking sick impoverished.
Apple Watches and Zara shoes?
Pete said that J. Cole fans wear Apple Watches and Zara shoes. First off, a lot of them probably have $25,000 debt from their communication degrees, and they can't afford that. So, anyway.
Their mom got it for them on Black Friday.
Man. Okay, their mom got it from on Black Friday. All right.
They made them wait till Christmas.
I like how it's supposed to be my rant. Pete's just, no, fuck it.
Being reckless again.
We'll let it ride.
I'm being reckless again. All right, man, hurry up. Close out the fucking show.
Stop
talking.
You've
been got shit to say.
I actually do. It's funny, though. Like, I remember when you brought up the topic of glass ceilings, and usually the person who breaks through the glass ceiling gets left behind and totally forgot about it in history. And I can relate to that because I was that nigga. I am at that point. But he just put his head down on the table. Thank you for not slamming your head on the table.
Nobody cares you don't have about insurance. Your plight.
Yo,
that's the title.
That's the title? Oh. Nobody cares about your plight? Fuck you, Pete. Fucking struggle hoopty. Struggle hoopty.
Why is he crying?
Fucking Pete. He really dropped the headphones. But no, in all seriousness, man. We're approaching...
No one cares about your plight.
I know, we're approaching 100 episodes. Shut the fuck up, Pete. I know no one cares about my plight. I was joking. But nah, like we're approaching 100 episodes. And honestly, I'm really proud of like this because it's like what we started, it kind of just feels like we were always having these conversations, like doing two-hour shows and then really just condensed it down to like 30-minute conversations. We were always talking like this. And also, just in media, like, we see a lot of fake shit. Like, Pete has beef and smoke for Berto Duran. Is it Berto Duran?
Whoa.
Not Berto Duran. I mean, hold on. I'm going to unmute his mic.
Dry snitching?
No, because we
saw...
Dry snitching. Nah, that's not dry snitching. You were shitting on people's names. I'm not dry snitching. Dog, you name five people's names in the media you don't fuck with.
I named them. I don't go saying you said shit about them.
Okay,
let's talk about all the...
I'm throwing his name in the ring on behalf of both of us.
On a
he said some shit. Like, first off, this whole issue with journalists wanting agents and shit. Like, be honest. You didn't really want to be a journalist. You want... That was my fucking point. You didn't want to be a journalist. You wanted to be famous. You don't actually care about truth and fucking transparency. Like, Pete and I can say we got into journalism.
And now you're mad because influencers got more clout and more advertisers.
You can talk to the mic. I unmuted your mic. But anyway.
But yeah, and now journalists are upset because influencers got more clout and brand respectability than them. And they're just surprised.
Ryan called you a backseat podcaster? Oh shit. But honestly though, for real, I don't like that shit. I never liked it when I saw like people just in school like, oh, I want to be this famous person on TV, but like, yo, you stupid as fuck in real life. Like, you don't know anything about anything and you call yourself a journalist. That's why like I know Pete and I got to a point before we started the show where like, yo, we could just do this shit on our own. Like, we could create our own, like, people. It's funny, a lot of these older people in media say, oh, create your own platforms, this, that, and the third, but then they shit on you for having a following and actually being social when they don't really have any followers. I know, I've seen some of these professors who tell me how I should be doing shit on Twitter, and I'm just looking at you like, you have 370 followers, sir or ma'am.
X.
Like, who, you have 37 followers, and some of them are like, your other colleagues who don't know shit about this era and can't really survive in it because you made your money in your prime and really didn't do anything to build anything forward or create platforms for the same people who you see coming up who actually want to make a change.
You were your job title.
You earned your lifetime employee.
No one remembers the story you did.
Literally, like...
You are your LinkedIn profile.
Literally. Like, you live off that. That's all you have. Like, I feel like there's two types of people in this world. There's people who just know that, like, they're not that cookie-cutter corporate person. And then there's all these ass-kissers.
Like you, but you fail to admit it, even though I tell you on a
weekly basis. I'm not an ass-kisser, though. Whose ass have I kissed? I don't even kiss my own ass. So, how?
That's what I'm saying. You're not a corporate dude.
Oh, I thought you meant the other guy.
But yeah, you try to convince me every week that you could.
That I could do it. But honestly, it's like for young people, because we really are just out here blazing our own trails, and we just have to accept the fact that the older generation, the ones who do help, they try. They do what they can. But most of them really didn't give a fuck about us like that. They were too busy living their own lives and feeding off a system that is honestly outdated. So for all you people in media who are up and coming and you actually want to create a platform of honesty and something that's respectable. Or like people in the streets fuck with us and say they like our shit. Yeah, we're not like, we don't have a huge following. But I know if like, street cats on the corner saying like, I fuck with your message and what you're doing. You know what? I think I'm doing something right. So with that, we're gonna keep rocking. We're gonna keep doing our thing. But most importantly, I'm allergic to fake people and fake shit, and that's probably why I've made a lot of enemies. But honestly, none of those people would fight me alone in an elevator, because you know what the fuck would happen.
I'll fight you.
You would, but you're different. You're like, you'd fight me, but I'd leave you more fucked up than me. Like, you'd have medical attention. Like, we'd be eating at Wendy's. We wouldn't say shit for 40 minutes. Then you give me a ride home, and I'd be like,
fuck, when do we go to Wendy's?
Because, like, there's no rallies around, so we got to get a Frosty. I got to, like, have a Frosty. You got to put one on your face because it's fucked up, and you're like, damn.
That's a roast.
I don't have insurance. We both fucked up. Why do we even fight? We actually were agreeing. We said the same shit differently. That's what most of this podcast
really
is.
That shit.
Like, honestly, we can get into a fight in the next 10 minutes and be like, what was the point, dog? Stop somewhere and start go take a shit, or like run to the liquor store and buy a bunch of unnecessary snacks and drinks. Or better yet, go to that same gas station where they only have orange Gatorade. And
it's
yellow
not
Gatorade.
Even a regular yellow Gatorade. It's like some knockoff pineapple shit. That they probably get at the fucking 88 cent store.
I wouldn't lace
not
that shit.
Not even the 99
steroids.
Has that shit.
I wouldn't lace that
it's
shit.
It's probably bum piss laced with Red Bull.
You're being
pineapple Swisher.
I wouldn't mix that shit with like any amount of drugs or jungle juice at a college party. Like, I would.
All right, man, let's get the fuck out of here. Touchdowns and Tangents, you know what it is. Your weekly NFL podcast, context for the culture, topical tangents.
Culturally concise commentary.
Shout out to the Good News radio station. Shout out to the X Squad affiliate. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast platform, wherever you're listening to this. Rate it, love it, like it, share it, whatever. Tell us the fuck off. @TDs_tangents on Twitter and IG.
@OzoGrande, OZO Grande, anywhere you find it.
And I'm at Pete Certified.
Should we go out with Lupe Fiasco or the typical shit?
I don't even care. It's probably not. We're not going to hear it anyway.
It's weird. There's like a delay. I'm just waiting on the app, and I'm like, oh, shit. There's a total delay. Yep. Oh, it actually hit. Oh, we play. Anyway, we're out. We love y'all. We're going to have some dope shit next week. And bye.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.